the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pearl White system at RadioArian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 14th of March, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live at RadioArian.com because we have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with us from RushJournal.org and the Orthodox Nationalist. Matt, how are you doing today?
Could you imagine what it's like to be so stupid that you believe the American press when it talks about something? Imagine what that their life must be like. On a day-to-day basis, you know, I bet you they're happier than we are because they know less. I think ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is easy. That's what
That is what they say. That is what they say. And I despair of British people that believe the British press as well. I mean, all I can say is that it seems that more and more people are waking up, and at least we do have semi-alternative news sources. Like RT, which we actually have on the mainstream television, on the normal TV channels, we actually have RT on there. We don't actually have to go on the internet for it, which I think is a good thing. Do you have it on? Do you have that channel on your normal channels over there, or do you have to go on the internet for it, Matt?
Well, I don't know. I don't have a television, so I don't know how that works.
All right. Well, you're even luckier. Even luckier. I mean, I do have to keep hold of the television just so that I can keep up with what's going on. But we do seem to get a lot of our reports, especially on Thursdays, from RT, because they do give an alternative point of view. They're not right-wing, they're not nationalist, but they do help to give us a nuanced view of things. And I do think more people in America are actually tuning into it, or else, you know, the administration wouldn't be as frightened by it as they are. And when we've got some good reports to start with today from RT, and we're going to be particularly talking about Venezuela, which is, of course, it's been in the news all year, but it's in the news at the moment because of these big power cuts, these incredibly suspicious power cuts. And this first bit comes from RT. China says it is ready to help Venezuela to restore its power grid. The South American country suffered a five-day blackout, with Caracas accusing Washington of cyber sabotage. Foreign Ministry spokesman Liu Kang said Beijing had noted reports that the power grid had gone down due to a hacking attack. China is deeply concerned about this, Liu said, adding that Beijing hopes that the Venezuelan side can discover the reason for this issue as soon as possible and resume normal power supply and social order. So what we have there is we have confirmation from the Chinese that what Venezuela has said, that they were actually hacked, that is the truth. Now, is there any reports of this over there in America, that that's the cause of this? Or are they trying to say that this is down to poverty and them not maintaining the power grid, Matt? I mean, 5 days, that's a long time for a blackout, isn't it?
Well, even the left in America goes along with the press on this one. There's a few holdouts, but you know, when the Chinese have been brought in, they've been bringing a lot of aid into the country too. And I know you just sent me a link, a Twitter from Partisan Girl, who says that right after 100% of power was restored, I think it was 16 hours ago or so, the oil refineries, the power stations, water purification, all of these things went all at once, which of course is impossible unless it was sabotage. But the Chinese know it's sabotage, and this is for all the American harping about hacking the elections, this is what they're doing to another country.
Well, they've warned about this, haven't they? They've said that this is the new modern day weapons is hacking. And we saw them hack into Iran, didn't we? Didn't they send? They sent over some kind of worm that got into their nuclear reactors and messed everything up. And that's got to be what's going on here. They've sent in some kind of virus, which is taken out the power grid. And you imagine 5 days without any electricity. And of course, what they were hoping was that there was going to be riots and looting. But there hasn't been any riots and looting because it does appear that the country supports Maduro. According to Maduro, the systems had been nearly 70% restored when we received another attack of a cybernetic nature at midday that disturbed the reconnection process and knocked out everything that had been achieved until noon. Additionally, one of the sources of generation that was working perfectly was also sabotaged, he added, accusing domestic infiltrators of attacking the electric company from the inside. Authorities are now trying to restore the systems manually while struggling to diagnose why the computerized systems failed on such a massive scale. I mean, they could have put something in there years back. I mean, this has probably all been planned for months, maybe even years. I would suggest maybe they had a maintenance engineer in there. I mean, all he would have to do is plug a USB stick in and then just leave the malware on there waiting to be activated when they decided to activate it, I think, Matt.
Well, there's no question this is a software issue. So there's no doubt that it's sabotage. There's no doubt that this is how Washington is waging war. And as you mentioned, there hasn't been the rioting and the looting that the neocons expected. That says a lot.
Well, it just seems to me that it's all been progressing along, hasn't it? I mean, they've had their trucks that they put there, the aid trucks, and they were supposed to get in with the weapons in, but that failed. So then they've had people setting fire to the trucks and trying to blame Maduro for that. That's failed. Now they've set off this software, this malware on the power grid, that's failed. We just don't know what they're going to do next. But I really do think that America has got egg on its face. Over half the world's countries are supporting Maduro in this. And continuing with this article here, the main power outage was likely prompted by a cyber attack against the Guri hydroelectric plant, which produces 80% of the country's electricity. Jorge Rodriguez, Venezuela's Communication and Information Minister, said on Friday, according to local media. The official went on to hint that US Senator and fierce anti-Maduro campaigner Marco Rubio may be linked to the offensive. Rodriguez found it suspicious that shortly after the failure, Rubio shared specific information on Twitter about the emergency that not even the local authorities were aware of at that time. I mean, that proves who it is that's involved in it. If he's got inside information that not even the authorities in Venezuela have about the damage that's been caused to this, that shows who the perpetrator is, doesn't it?
Yeah, and what he said right away was that the backup generators, and there's a whole system, a backup system, that they failed at the same time. Again, this can't be a coincidence. But he knew this before local authorities did. But there's no question that Rubio, the CIA, has some connection with this. There's no doubt about it.
So he knew that these backup generators were going to be attacked as well, and that hadn't even yet been on the news, and he's there putting his foot in his mouth by talking about that. I think we've got some more news about Marco Rubio later on in this. We've got an analysis of it from Venezuela. This is from Venezuela Analysis. On Friday, Communications Minister Jorge Rodriguez told press that a cyber attack had taken place against the RDAS computerized system of the Guri Dam, targeting 3 of the 5 generators and forcing the dam's turbines to stop. He added that Venezuela would present evidence of the attack to the United Nations Human Rights Commission and to other international bodies. Has anything been said about this at the UN just yet, Matt? Do you know? Have they commented on it at all?
I've not seen it. I can only assume that they're working on a report. They're going to put all the evidence in one place and send it to whoever will read it. I'm pretty sure it's going to be, no pun intended, it's going to be damning evidence. But these are specific, this malware is targeting specific generators in a specific way. Although it does bother me that 80%, or I'm sorry, what did he say? Yeah, 80% of the electricity is based on one plant. That really bothered me that they're that vulnerable. If you target one plant, you knock out 80%. That seems to make them terribly vulnerable to attack.
Yeah, that's really not wise. I mean, have all your eggs in one basket so that can just be taken out like that. Well, I said we've got some more information on Rubio. This comes from Vox. Rubio tweeted about the news over the weekend, claiming in a now-deleted tweet that the blackout was caused by another transformer explosion at the German dam in Bolivar State. But the tweet got a big thing wrong. This was not due to problems at Venezuela's German dam. Germain Dam, instead, is the name of the journalist who reported the story about the power outages. And that's a little bit silly of him, isn't it? Thinking that it was actually talking about a dam rather than the bloke's name. I mean, he's pretty incompetent, isn't he, this guy?
Yeah, this is, you see this all the time when these guys try to talk details. You know, they're not exactly specialists in the field. You know, they're so obsessed with destroying a system or really an ideology that they'll pretty much say anything. And in this particular case, he made a fool of himself. Politicians do this a lot. Gary Johnson did it during the elections, if you remember, more than once, actually. For someone who makes this a big part of his identity to not know this he's just getting, you know, staffers are giving him all this information. He's just throwing it up there and he's not paying much attention to it. Typical American politician.
Well, it reminds me of Nikki Haley when she was talking about that country that didn't even exist when she got pranked by the Russian.
Right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot about that.
It reminds me of that.
It's typical. Absolutely. Yeah, it's so easy to manipulate these people.
Well, let's have a look in more detail on what's actually going on there. This comes from The Nation. The Trump sanctions of August 2017 imposed a financial embargo that cut Venezuela off from most borrowing. This had an enormous impact on oil production, which had already been declining. The rate of decline accelerated rapidly during the year following the sanctions. It would fall by 700,000 barrels a day, about three times as fast as it had fallen over the previous 20 months. This post-sanction acceleration is the loss of oil production amounts to the loss of more than $6 billion. For comparison, Venezuela, when the economy was growing, spent about $2 billion per year on medicines. Total goods imports for 2018 are estimated at $11.7 billion. At the time of these sanctions, Venezuela was already suffering from a deep recession and balance of payments problems that necessitated a debt restructuring. To restructure the debt, the government has to be able to issue new bonds, but the US sanctions have made this impossible. The Trump sanctions, both the August 2017 sanctions and now the new oil embargo, also make it pretty near impossible for the government to take measures that would end the hyperinflation, currently estimated at 1.6 million percent annually. That's incredible, that, Matt, 1.6 million percent inflation. And this is all caused by the sanctions.
It's not caused by the social system or the political system whatsoever. No social system is perfect, but this is directly, you know, the number one trading partner, as we've said in the show before, of Venezuela is the United States. So when the U.S. slap sanctions on a country that's dependent the way they are, that's what's going to happen. But two things, I want to point out two things. Number one, this has nothing to do with the failure of socialism or national socialism in the sense that Hugo Chavez had promoted, because the economy was growing very much under his rule with the same system pretty much in place now. And the second thing is there isn't widespread starvation. Which is, I know what the press, some, but even like the New York Times have been denying this too. They've been trying to promote the idea that there's people, you know, starving in the streets like it's Ethiopia in the 1980s. You know, that's simply not true.
Well, how come, you know, they've got this problem here because they're not actually able to borrow? Why can't they just create their own money? I mean, they're a sovereign nation. And it says here, you know, this financial embargo, it cut Venezuela off from most borrowing. Well, why can't they just generate their own money like Germany did, like the National Socialists did, you know, like we advocate for? Can you answer that for me, Matt? Why they can't do that?
Well,
why
we'll is see as we go down a bit more that the Chinese and the Russians are stepping in for any kind of liquidity problem. If they're going to, you know, we talked last week about the BRICS Bank and the Customs Union Bank. This is a classic first step for them to go to Venezuela and restructure it. No IMF, no World Bank. Let a friendly society help them. That should be, they should be moving in, and then they are already. So that's what, don't go to the IMF, go to the Russians, go to the Chinese. They're already offering it, and they can handle it. No problem. They have heavy investments there as well.
Is the world so interconnected now that you couldn't do that with a country like Germany did, you know, say, well, we need to create X amount of money for X amount of projects. So we will create it. And then when the projects are finished, the money will come back in and that will zero the debt. Is it not possible to do that now because all the countries are so connected up globally, do you think?
Well, I've made that point many times on this show that, in a globalized economy, if you spend on some kind of domestic assistance program of any kind, you have no idea if it's going to be spent locally. Anytime you assist companies or startups, labor unions, whatever it is, you have no idea where this money is going to go. You can't assume it's a closed system. But that's not really the issue here. I think the issue here is that they were so dependent on the U.S. market for so long. For, you know, two-thirds of their exports, that that being cut off this quickly is a problem. Russia, of course, is a oil exporter, but did not compete directly with Venezuela for the American market. So they're not stepping on each other's toes here. And I know that a lot of the refining equipment stuff comes from Belarus and even China. So there's a lot of assistance that they can offer here. But yeah, I've made that point many times. In a globalized system, any assistance at the local level can end up going anywhere, and the profits and the results and the consequences could go anywhere. So that's why you can't. It's not a simple closed system anymore.
Okay, well, let's get back to the Venezuela analysis here. The failure of the February 23rd humanitarian aid provocation on the Venezuelan border was a serious blow for Trump's ongoing coup attempt. There were mutual recriminations between self-appointed Guaido, Colombian President Duque, and U.S. Vice President Pence. The U.S. could not get a consensus from its own Lima cartel allies in favor of military intervention. The coup was losing momentum. Then on March the 7th, just days after Guaido's anticlimactic return to Caracas, the country was plunged into a nationwide blackout from which it has not yet fully recovered. What caused it? How is it related to the regime change attempt? And most importantly, what are imperialism's plans and how can they be fought? February 23rd was supposed to be the coup's D-Day. The idea was never to actually deliver humanitarian aid into the country, but rather to create a people's power movement where large crowds of opposition supporters on both sides of the border defied the Venezuelan armed forces, which, when faced with a large crowd of peaceful demonstrators, would then switch sides and join Trump's puppet, Juan Guaido. On the day, however, things did not go according to Washington's plan. The crowds of opposition supporters did not materialize in the expected numbers. Aid trucks did not cross the border, and by the end of the day, Rubio, Abrams, and Guaido were left with egg all over their faces. Is this when the trucks were set fire to with these petrol bombs, Matt, or was this a different incident?
No, this is the exact same thing. The point was to try to make it seem like Maduro was destroying aid that country for bringing into Venezuela. And, of course, it's not the case. How absurd is it that the United States, who is the cause of this, will then bring in aid to assist the local population? All they have to do is just reverse their policy and it goes away. So it's clearly politicized. But as we'll see in a bit here, aid is coming in from all over the place, which he accepts no problem. But in this case, it was meant to be this to show him as a monster, and it failed entirely.
Well, with Abrams' past record, I mean, he put loads of weapons in with the aid. I mean, that's what he got into trouble for. I mean, he was the first guy to do that and break all convention and process and fill up humanitarian aid with a load of weapons. So that's his record. So, nobody can blame Maduro for saying, well, no, we don't want any aid that has anything to do with Abrams, because it's not going to be humanitarian aid. We've seen the same thing happen in Syria. Well, the next quote we've got here is from the New York Times. Vice President Mike Pence wrote that the tyrant in Caracas danced as his henchmen burned food and medicine. The State Department released a video saying Mr. Maduro had ordered the trucks to be burned. And Venezuela's opposition held up the images of the burning aid reproduced on dozens of news sites and television screens throughout Latin America as evidence of Mr. Maduro's cruelty. But there is a problem. The opposition itself, not Mr. Maduro's men, appears to have set the cargo alight accidentally. Unpublished footage obtained by the New York Times and previously released tapes, including footage released by the Colombian government, which has blamed Mr. Maduro for the fire, allowed for a reconstruction of the incident. It suggests that a Molotov cocktail thrown by an anti-government protester was the most likely trigger for the blaze. At one point, a homemade bomb made from a bottle is hurled towards the police, who were blocking a bridge connecting Colombia and Venezuela to prevent the aid trucks from getting through. But the rag used to light the Molotov cocktail separates from the bottle, flying towards the aid truck instead. And there are also pictures of people with gasoline pouring it on the fire as well, who look like they're Guaido supporters, I guess. This is interesting that this report actually came from the New York Times, Matt.
Well, and that's why I included it, because they're generally anti-Maduro, but they're not going to – when you have a – I've seen it on the picture on Twitter of the guy with the gasoline can. I don't believe there wasn't much medicine in there. The manifest didn't include medicine. I don't even know what was in that aid package. But the police were nowhere to be found, anywhere close to the trucks at the time, weren't using anything. They shot tear gas, I think, but nothing that would, start a blaze like that. So clearly it was a setup, but the setup failed completely. But, what did we do before the web? What did we do before the internet? My God. It's like we were cavemen. I mean, now we could analyze and micro comprehend every little thing. But back then we had only a few sources of information. My God.
Well, I think the way this is so blatant and it's so obvious. I mean, this shows that this is what they've been used to doing, because they could get away with it because there wasn't the internet there, because we didn't have access to the news reports from the countries that were being subverted and regime changed. We weren't able to actually see that, but we can now. And they don't know what to do about that. They obviously still think that they can get away with it, and yet they can't. Well, we've got some more Venezuela analysis here. The truth, rather, is that Caracas has requested and is currently receiving international humanitarian assistance, especially from multilateral bodies like the International Red Cross, the United Nations, and regional healthcare organizations. The government has only blocked what these same humanitarian bodies have criticized as politicized aid, coming from the US State Department's notorious US aid branch, which looks to instrumentalize aid as a tool of regime change. Only 48 hours before the February 23rd border shutdown, Maduro announced that his government is coordinating $200 billion worth of technical humanitarian assistance with the UN and the EU-led International Contact Group. This is close to 20 times what the US and its allies have pledged to Venezuela. While the Contact Group is yet to issue a formal comment, a statement from the EU some days later confirmed that the body has provided more than $60 million in 2018 and 2019 in international assistance to the country through official government channels. Speaking to a host of followers at the end of a rally in Caracas Saturday, Maduro committed his government to buying all food products which Brazil is willing to sell to them, and announced that a 7.5-ton shipment of medicines from Russia, arrived in the Caribbean nation over the weekend in coordination with the Pan American Health Organization. So there's actually lots of aid that is getting into the country. It's just the American aid that they don't want, which is quite sensible, I think.
Yeah, and because of the pictures and because of how badly this was handled, that failed. As you read earlier, Guaido coming back, he doesn't have a huge following. As we said, you know, when last time we spoke about him on this show, you know, very few Venezuelans ever heard of the guy. He wasn't really in politics before. He had just started a term. He won his seat with something like, you know, 23% of the vote in an obscure area. Of course, trained in the United States, educated in the U.S. He's a nobody. And now, because the imperialism is so blatant, Maduro has more support than ever. I think Venezuelans and the military, that they tried to claim that the military has defected, there's no evidence of that at all. They're stronger than ever. This is really backfiring on the West. And you know, even anti-Maduro papers are saying, you know, this hasn't gone well. So the next step was a blackout. So that failed because more and more people are realizing this doesn't make any sense. So who knows what the next step is going to be?
I recall seeing the news report where they said 100 soldiers had defected. But apparently there's no evidence of that. And Guaido himself is calling himself commander-in-chief of the army. Now, how can he do that if all he's got is 100 soldiers? And there's actually no evidence for that at all. What's his role as far as the army is concerned, Matt? Do you know?
Guaido's role?
Yeah. He's calling himself commander-in-chief of the army.
Yeah, I mentioned that, and I, you know, maybe he'll call himself Pope next. I'm not sure. You know, he maybe he's believing his own press after a while. And the reason I mentioned his obscure background is that, you know, usually when the U.S. wants to support a regime change, it's usually from a presidential contender who lost. Now, this guy wasn't even in the race. This guy really was in no race. He's very obscure. Then he becomes speaker of the assembly. There are no, that's like his second term. There are no more senior guys that could be given that. You know, the CIA footprints or fingerprints, I should say, are all over this thing. He's immediately elected with a low percentage of the vote in the middle of nowhere. And then, you know, a day later is made speaker of the assembly. That usually goes to senior people. So everything about this is bizarre. And because of the pictures, because of the analysis, it's failing. It's failing all over the place. But I think in the conservative press in America, they're saying that socialism is to blame for this. And, of course, they won't talk about Chavez's rule, where, of course, the economy did very, very well. And to a great extent, you know, labor and the peasantry gained tremendously under him without the assistance of the IMF. And that's the kiss of death in as far as the American regime is concerned. If you could do that without their banks, then you're an evil man. So that's the conservative position as of right now. That's the Fox News position.
Well, one thing that does surprise me is that he isn't getting a lot of support from the left. I mean, I saw an interview with him a while back, and he was saying Donald Trump is a white supremacist. He's a fascist. It's a white supremacist administration. They want white supremacy in Venezuela. I mean, just all these ludicrous nonsense that we're used to hearing the Antifa saying in America. You know, you would imagine that the left would see Maduro as a great ally because he is saying exactly the same things they are. And yet I haven't seen any support for him coming from the left over there in America. And am I right about this, Matt? Nobody in the left is actually supporting him?
Well, you read that piece from The Nation, which is a famous leftist journal, blaming the sanctions, not him, for the collapse. There is some leftist support for him, but it's more residual from Chavez. I mean, he was the charismatic revolutionary, a man that both all forms of socialists can come together and be unified under, and his system worked. So if there's the the support that's coming out is really residual from Chavez, not anything about Maduro in particular. It just should be noted that his party, as we mentioned the last time we talked about him, does very, very well in elections and has been the dominant party in the country for a long time. So, you know, and the rallies, pro-Maduro rallies just the other day, have been gigantic, and they've consistently been gigantic. So, you know, it's not like, this Guaido is starting to believe his own press. He's getting more and more delusional.
Well, those rallies, again, it reminds me of Syria. I mean, Bashar al-Assad had huge rallies, you know, a million people, probably more than that, right in the middle of Damascus with a huge great flag. And, you know, it just wasn't covered by the rest of the world's media. And nobody paid any attention to it. But it was quite clear that he had all the support of the country. And I think we've got the same, it's the same thing that's happening here. They've just turned their attention to Venezuela instead of Syria. I mean, we may yet end up seeing Islamic extremists in Venezuela. You know, they might send ISIS over there. That might be the next trick they're going to pull, Matt.
I tell you right now, it wouldn't surprise me if we don't. You know, there's Islamic groups in Trinidad and Tobago, not too far away. I could picture that. Maduro allies with ISIS. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with another special guest. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan. Radio Aryan. Dot, 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 dot.